Psalm number 95.
All right, everybody found their place now. Psalm 95 and verse number 1. The psalmist said, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's look to him in just a moment of prayer, and we'll try to bring the thought this morning, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful now for the Sunday school hour this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God then. Thank you, Father, for the singing, the songs of Zion that we've been able to sing today, and the fellowship we've enjoyed with God's people. I pray now that you'll lift up the discouraged hearts today, that you'll bless those, Lord, that are struggling with problems and trials. I pray for the sick. I ask you to touch their bodies and give grace there. I pray for God's people, that you'd help us, Lord, to turn to thee, that we might be revived once again in the midst of the work, in the midst of the years, would thou revive us again. I do pray, Lord, for power and unction this morning, liberty to preach the Word of God, your blessings upon every soul, saving sinners, and blessing and helping the saints. And we'll thank you for what's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to take verse number 6 this morning. It was in our bulletin. I don't think it shocks you. That's where I'm preaching from. Where the psalmist said, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Oh, come, let us worship. I want to preach this morning on this thought, worship in the right way. Worship in the right way. I think that we would all agree that worship is certainly a part of the Christian life. You can't be much of a Christian without worshiping the Lord. And I'll say this later, but I'll say it now also. In fact, the Lord said in John 4, when he was dealing with that Samaritan woman, that God seeketh such to serve, to worship him who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And certainly worship is part of the Christian life. And, you know, I don't know that we know a great deal about worship. I don't think there's a whole lot of worship in our churches. But just to be quite honest with you, I think there's a lot of hoopla going on, but I don't think there's a great deal of what biblical worship is all about. And the only way we'll know what worship is what the Bible has to say about it. And what it has to say about it in the context that it's written in, and not that some other context, but in the context that it's written in. Now, I want to say a little bit about this psalm, and we'll get into the thought here momentarily. Now, this psalm, in fact, is one of a series of psalms, beginning a series of psalms, that is intended for the temple worship. That is, that the Hebrews, the Jews, sang these psalms, as they went to the temple for worship. As Charles Spurgeon said, it has about it a ring much like the church bell. And like the bells, it sounds both merrily and solemnly. But Spurgeon went on to say, "But we certainly don't want to become so solemn that we appear to be miserable." You know, we do come to church in a solemn assembly. But we certainly ought to come and appear to people that we're miserable. My goodness, we ought not to take on that appearance at all. We certainly ought to take on the appearance, a joyful countenance, that others might know that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. If we've been saved, the joy of the Lord ought to fill our hearts. His gladness ought to fill our soul. And those around us ought to be able to see, not just hear, but be able to see by our countenance that we have been saved by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of people think the church is morbid, a place that is, ought to be morbid and dead and dry. But I'm totally contrary to that. The church is not a place to come and be a place of where it looks like we're all warmed over death or something. Praise God, we've come today to worship the Lord. Come now. He said, oh, come, let us worship, let us bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And that's what we're here for today, is to worship God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, the date of the psalm, or the date and the author of the psalm, is not mentioned here. But if you compare what is said in verses 7 and 8, there were at time, we're not preaching from that today. But it's where the scripture says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. If you compare that with what Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter number 7, and the fact that he said there in Hebrews 4:7, he said, he limiteth a day, saying in David. I believe that we could be safe in saying that David is the author, or that David is the one that wrote this lovely song of worship. So let me briefly mention, I want to mention three things this morning concerning worship of the Lord. And as I said, please keep in mind that the Lord said to that woman in Samaria, He said to her that the Lord seeketh such to worship Him that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, this is really not in my thoughts. This is not one of the things I want to mention as far as the 3 points. But if you notice, three times in this psalm, it says, O come. In verse 1, he said, O come and let us sing. In verse number 2, he said, let us come before His presence. And in verse number 6, he said, O come and let us worship. Amen. And there's three times he said, let us come. That leaves me with the idea that whoever wrote this psalm, and I think it was probably David, that David is already in worship of the Lord. Amen. Now, you say, how do you know that, preacher? Because it's hard to extend an invitation to somebody to come to something or to some place where you are not at. It's like when God invited Noah into the ark, God was already inside that ark and was inviting Noah into it. And so David must already, if he wrote this psalm, he must already have found himself in that place of worship. And what he's doing is an extending an invitation to others to come to the Lord and worship Him also. And I think one reason he is because he has found that place of worship to be such a blessed and a wonderful place in the Christian life. And it is a wonderful place. I'm telling you, there is nothing like communicating with the Lord. I mean, our hearts reaching out and touching the heart of God. God's heart coming back and touching our heart and filling us full of the joy of our salvation, making us glad and thankful that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I'm here to tell you, I don't think we know much about worship today. I don't think we know much about worship today. The Lord desires our worship. He wants our worship. In fact, I'm confident that He demands our worship if we've been to Calvary and been saved by the wonderful grace of our God. Amen. So there's three invitations here. Now, notice the first thing He said, Oh, come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. As I want to say, first of all, that we are to worship Him joyfully. We are both verses 1 and 2 makes the statement to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise is mentioned in both of these verses. In verse 1, the joyful noise is made to Him who is the rock of our salvation. And then in verse number 2, it tells us who that we're to be, who that we're to be singing before, or who we're to be making a joyful noise to. And that is the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, that joyful noise is in the form of singing. That's exactly right. Oh, come, let us sing. That's what the Bible said. I thought this morning when we were singing, we was kind of dragging a little bit. And I thought, Lord, I wonder what kind of a mood our hearts are in today. Are we really in the mood of worshiping you today? Or have we just come to the house of God just in order to be here? Now, I want to say this to you. He said, we're to sing unto the Lord. We're singing to Him. We're not just singing about Him. We're singing to Him according to this song. I want to ask you a question this morning. When you come today and we opened our hymn book and started singing, were you really singing to the Lord? I hope Brother Bell and his family were. When they were up here singing a special this morning, I wonder if they were singing to the Lord. We'd be amazed at the people, and I say this about people that sing specials in the house of God. You'd be amazed at those that come not to sing unto the Lord, but to sing to somebody in the congregation, that they may be heard of man and not heard of God. Now, I'm here to tell you, we know, hey, that's why he said a joyful noise. Now, I'm going to tell you, if it is to the Lord, it is a joyful noise, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I preached so long that I get up here and start singing, I get to growling, but I made up my mind, I'll growl them out. Amen. I'm going to keep on singing and doing my best. Why? If I'm doing it unto the Lord, it is a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I am to sing unto Him. I'm singing to Him and blessing His holy name for what He has done in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. You'd be amazed at the people that come to sing that their neighbor may hear what they're saying. Boy, didn't they do a good job this morning. Praise God, I'm telling you, didn't they sound good? I wonder how they sounded to the Lord. Amen. Is that what my text says? Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Am I off? Am I not? And he said, and make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And again in verse 2, he makes that joyful noise again. And so he's bound to be referring to singing. Hey, church, when we come to church, I'm just going to labor on this a while. When we come to the house of God, we ought to have our hearts in tune with God and ready to sing unto Him. Amen. Open up that songbook, get our heart in tune with God, and sing praises unto the Lord. Amen. And amen, Brother Hall. It is Him that one that we want to hear of. Not man, but God. Let God hear us. Now, I'm going to tell you the blessed thing of it is, if God hears us singing, the Lord hears us singing, it won't be long until He'll start singing back like they did in the Song of Solomon. And if we're singing to Him and He's a singing to us, praise God, we'll have a real time together in the Lord. Amen and amen. That's right. There ain't no problem with Him singing to us. The problem comes with us singing to Him. Now, I'm telling you, you can't worship the God. We can't worship the Lord apart from songs. Amen. It's a much of a part of the service at the house of God.
That's right.
And it ought to be done in a joyful manner. Amen. Not some old dead, formalistic, ritualistic type singing. But it ought to be, hey, joyful and jubilant.
Yes.
Coming from the heart that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It ought to be in praise and adoration to Him. We ought to be willing, if necessary, to kneel down and bow down before Him. You know, just before I came out here this morning, I walked in my office, got my Strong's, and looked up that word worship in verse number 6. You know what it means? It means to fall prostrate. It means to bow down. It means to do obeisance to. When was the last time we really fell down? He said, kneel down. Bow down. Kneel down. When was the last time we really fell down, kneeled down, bowed down, and sang unto the Lord? I'll tell you, it's probably been a long time. Probably been a long, long time. And it ought to be done joyfully. Now, if you'll notice in that, he said, saying unto him, the rock of our salvation. The rock of our salvation. Now, let me find where I'm at here. The rock of our salvation. Now, we're to worship him joyfully. Why? Because he is our salvation. And the term rock of our salvation must be in reference to Israel's experience in the wilderness when Moses smote that rock, and out of that rock came out of great depths, God brought water to satisfy those people. That's right. When Moses smote that rock, that water sent out, that rock sent forth water from great depths, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about from the water well down beneath the earth. God brought water up out of that rock to satisfy those people. But you know something? On Mount Calvary, it wasn't the Moses that smote that rock. It was God Almighty. And I'll tell you, I have never, Brother Ricky, I've never gotten over it. I considered it this morning, and it broke my heart as I was finishing up preparing my own heart to preach this morning. It broke my heart when I had to consider this morning that God Almighty on the cross of Calvary smote His own darling Son, that out of Him might come water for a thirsty soul and satisfy those that are thirsty for the Lord. Amen. May I say that when Christ was smitten on Calvary, out of great depths of God's grace. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Out of great depths of God's grace, ladies and gentlemen, came living water. I'm talking about living water. Came living water to satisfy the souls of men that we might be saved by the grace of Almighty God. Like the Lord told that woman at the well, said, I've got water to drink. You know, if you drink it, you'll never thirst again. That's right. And never thirst again. Isn't that wonderful? Out of great depths of His grace, we can drink from the grace of our God. Man, I'm telling you, the more I study about grace, the hungrier I get for more of it. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. That is right. Grace will satisfy a man. Amen. You better believe it will. You know, that's a wonderful thing when you think about it. Amen. Moses stepped up on that rock like God said and smote that rock, and water came out. Amen. But not so on the cross. It was God that smote His own Son. Amen. 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 That brought His own Son to shame. That brought His own Son to suffering. That brought His own Son to death and humility of the death of the cross, that out of Him might flow rivers of living water, not only to satisfy our soul, but to save us for all time and eternity. And we ought to be willing, ladies and gentlemen, to come to the house of God with a song in our heart to praise Him for what He's done for our lives. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we ought to praise Him. We ought to praise Him joyfully. Now, notice this. We ought to worship Him joyfully. Not only because of our salvation, but because of the song He has given us. He said, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Because of the song that He has given us. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. We have no song of our own. We have no song. May I say, in fact, we have nothing. Except whatever God, whatever the Lord puts in us. We're only empty vessels. Oh, if God would ever put that deep down into our heart and soul, where we would actually, I mean, truthfully realize that we are nothing and nobody I want to say to you that God turned over a dunghill, a pile of dung, to find every one of us. We're all worms and not men. Son, we're absolutely nothing. I'm telling you, Brother Joe hit it right in Sunday school. This is the proudest generation that's ever lived on God's earth, especially in America. And we are, hey, I'm telling you, we need, hey, if we'll come to the house of God and realize that we are empty in ourselves and trust God to fill us and put that song in our heart, hey, we cannot praise Him unless He helps us do it. You can't praise Him on your own. You don't have anything to do it with. But I'll tell you, He's given us the person of the Holy Ghost. That's like an artesian well on the inside. Every now and then that artesian well begins to spring up. Oh, I would to God, it would spring up, oh well, this morning. Spring up, oh well, this morning, thank God. And let us worship a little while our God that loved us and took our sins upon Him that we might be delivered from the power of sin and saved and have eternal and everlasting life. Hallelujah. That's right. We didn't have a song. He said, let us go, come, let us sing. We not only worship joyfully because of our salvation, but we worship joyfully because of the song that He's given us. Amen. Now, somebody said, has He given us a song? Well, surely He has. Psalm 14, verse number 3, He said, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. He put it in there. Bless His wonderful name. He put it in there. The question is, are you willing to let it out? Are you willing to open up? Hey, somebody said, all you got to do is open up your mouth and let her fly. Wrong. You open up your mouth and let her fly, you'll make a mess out of things. I'll tell you what to open up. Open up your heart and let her fly. That's where the song's at. It's in the heart of man. Open up your heart and let her fly and sing unto the Lord from the heart, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Praise God. He wants heartfelt worship. Not some old dead, dried up, dried and light year, bird's nest, formal service. God wants us to assemble to sing praises to Him and worship Him. Hallelujah. You better believe that's right. Thank God. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. I'm going to tell you the reason a lot of you ain't going to do it. What Brother Grace said in Sunday school. We're too proud. We're afraid what somebody will say about us. Well, they're going to talk about you one way or the other. They might as well say it and they might as well be right about it instead of being wrong about it. Because somebody's going to talk about you. I mean, we've been called a cult around here and everything else. They're going to talk about you. When you linked up here, friend, you linked up with somebody that's talked about a great deal. Take my word for it. Amen. But we're not a cult. No, we believe the Bible. We're Bible believers. That's what it is. We're Bible believers, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah to God. I'm saying that Bible teaches me to worship Him. You not think He's worthy? My, how worthy is our Lord? That took your place and my place. We should have been crucified. It should have been us that was crucified. The penalty and the punishment should have been upon us. But thank God He walked every inch up Calvary's hill and laid His life down and took our sin, our punishment, our hell upon Him. Hallelujah. That we might go free. Became our sin bearer, our substitute, our sacrifice on the cross. Amen. That's right. That's right. The song was given that empty man might worship God. Empty man might worship God. The Lord said, I'm going to put a song in them, Father, so they can worship You. They don't have a song. They don't have a song. You know something? Even when Israel was in Babylon, they still had a song.
Amen.
Now, some of you would disagree with me with that. The Bible said that we sit down by the waters of Babylon. We hanged our harps on the willows. And they said unto us, sang us a song. Sang us a song. And here's the response was, how can we sing in a strange land? They didn't say they lost it. They just said, how can we sing in a strange land? Maybe this morning why we can't sing it is because we're living in a strange land. Maybe we're not over yonder in Canaan. Hey, God, maybe we need to get on the other side of the river. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right, man. We need to get on the other side of the river this morning. Get over in Jordan's land where the milk and the honey flow and the grapes of Eshcol grow. Yes, amen. Thank God. I'm talking about that spirit-filled life. I'm talking about getting filled up with God. Amen. If you get full enough of God, He will have to come out of you somewhere. Amen. I don't know where, but He'll have to come out of you somewhere. He'll come out of your eyes or out of your mouth or somewhere. God will come out of you. Amen. You can't fill up anything without whatever you're filling up. It's going to come out eventually if it gets full. Start filling up that baptistry. Plug up those holes. See, that's a problem. You know why this baptistry will never fill up? You know why it'll never get full? It's got an overflow back there, and that's all higher it'll go. And as it runs in and runs out, that may be our problem.
Amen.
Our overflow. We may be running out to overflow.
Amen.
What we need to do is put a plug in the overflow.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Put a plug in the overflow and let her fill up. Let her run over the top. Hallelujah to God. I'll guarantee you run enough water in this thing, plug up that little hole back there, and I'm telling you it'll eventually run over that glass I'm touching right there. That's the way it is with a child of God. Amen. You plug up all the leaks and all the holes you got and that overflow in you, and let God fill you with that water from great depths. It'll overflow. It'll come out of you. It's the house of God. It'll have to. Amen and amen. That's right. Somebody said, no, you're talking about running. I didn't say anything. I'm talking about singing. I'm talking about singing. Oh, come, let us sing. I'm talking about making a joyful noise. That is exactly right now. We worship Him joyfully. In song. Hallelujah. Because of our salvation. Because of the song that He's given us. This is going to get some of you. We worship Him joyfully. Because He is our sovereign.
Amen.
He is our sovereign. Now I want you to read these verses with me. Verse 4. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His. And guess what? He made it.
Amen.
If He made it, He owns it. By the way, He created you and I. He owns it. If He made it, He owns it. I've never seen anybody make anything yet that didn't belong to Him. Come on in the house now. See, it's His and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship, bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's exactly right. Verse number 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. You know why? He is sovereign, ladies and gentlemen. Now I want you to listen carefully. Don't run off and leave me. He is sovereign as our Creator. In verse 5, the Bible said His hands formed the dry land. He is a Creator. I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. We want to fuss and argue about how long the world's been here. Personally, I believe it's been here 6,000 years. But some people believe in what's called the gap theory. They believe that God created the world. Sometime later, Satan was booted out of heaven, and the earth became chaotic. Darkness filled it, and there was chaos. And so God later on, some billions of years down the road, come by, and began to create it. It took 6 days and formed it all back together and put it all back together. Now somebody said, well, who's right? Let me ask you this. According to Genesis 1:1, what makes the difference who's right? The truth of the matter is, in the beginning, God created. It don't matter when the beginning was. It could have been 20 trillion years ago, or it could have been 6,000 years ago. I personally believe, as I said, 6,000 years ago. But I'm going to tell you, the bottom line of it is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the Creator. He holds the earth in the palm of His hand. What a God! He's so big, He holds this earth in His hand. Not both of them. It does not say plural, Miss Donna. It says one. He holds this earth in His single hand. H-A-N-D hand. What a God, isn't it? Oh, yes, sir. Now, He's our Creator. He created all things. Now, I want to say He controls all things. Now, that's where some of you just lost me. Do you think these idiots that's in charge of these governments around the country are running things? If you do, boy, you got another thought coming. He's in control. Now, we won't even bother to mention that, but I just say, He's in control of the waters. He controls. Well, when Israel come to the Red Sea, God said, you tell them to go forward. Amen. In their mind, they thought, how are we going forward? And God, listen to me. I'm talking about creation being obedient to the Word of God. Hey, creation is more obedient to God than what man is. Right. God walked up to that water, looked down upon that water and said, part! And let it be dry where it parts in the ground. And it parted and the ground was dry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you, He controls the water. I'm going to tell you something else. He controls the weather. Somebody said, I wish that God had quit raining. Hey, friend, let God alone. Well, I wish the sun had shined more. Let God alone. Well, I wish we'd get some rain. Let God alone.
Amen.
Well, the devil sure done a number on that tsunami that hit over. Let God alone.
Amen.
God controls the weather. Somebody said, how do you know that? In Mark 4, when they were crossing that sea, amen. He was in the ship asleep, and the waves began to beat against the ship, and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish, and we're full of water? And He got up and rebuked the wind and the wave. He controls the weather. He said, wind, lay still. Waves, lay down. And they laid down and laid still. Yes, sir. He controls. Friend, he controls the weather. He controls the waters, and He controls the weather, the storms, the wind, and the waves. May I say that He controls the wildlife? Somebody said, preacher, you ain't preaching much this morning. I'm not. I may be saying more than what you realize I'm saying. Somebody said, how do you know He controls the wildlife? Very simple. I've read my Bible. There was a man got on a ship one time by the name of Jonah. Going in the wrong direction from God. Running away from God. And a great storm arose on that ocean. They drew straws and the straw fell on Jonah. And they said, what in the world have you done? He said, I'm a Hebrew and I'm running from God. And those men said, well, what can we do to calm the sea? He said, throw me overboard. God said, whale, come here a minute. That whale come zipping down through the water, looked up and said, what do you want, Lord? And he said, that ship over there is getting ready to throw a backslidden Baptist preacher overboard. Now, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to be right there. When he goes under, I want you to nail him and swallow him. That whale just swam over there as big as you please, opened his mouth. Jonah went in, the whale caught it, and the whale took off. 3 days later, God said, all right, well, it's time, time's up. carry him over there to the land of Nineveh and spit him up on dry land. That whale went over to Nineveh and said, and out come old Jonah. What are you saying? I'm saying the wildlife obey God, ladies and gentlemen. He controls it. Somebody said, do you have anything? Oh, why, I can go on and on. They told Daniel if he prayed, they was going to put him in a den of lions. Ain't that right? And old Daniel went on and prayed, and the king had him taken down to the den of lions. When they got down there with him, God said, now listen, I know you're the king of the beast, but here's what I want you to do. One of my choice men is getting ready to come down in here with you. And you know how cold this pit is. It's not warm down here. And here's what I want y'all to do. I want you to lay down. Let him lay his head. He'll need a pillow to sleep on. And as he's sleeping, cuddle up to him and keep him warm. And those lions just laid down, cuddled up to Daniel real big, and kept him warm and laid there and purred all night long like pussycat. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. You know why they did? God told them to. God told those lions that God's man was going to be there and told them exactly what he wanted them to do when he got there. And they did it. And we think of God that does that. Somebody said, well, I got me a big buck this year. You will if God sends him by. Somebody said, well, I caught a big bass. You will if God sends him around. Somebody said, now, preacher, surely you don't believe in that. Surely you don't believe in luck. I believe in providence, friend. Miss Hall don't like deer meat. That's why you won't let me kill one. I can't even luck one of them. Somebody said, Bridger, you got any more illustrations? Why, friend, if I didn't, I wouldn't even be up here. What are you going to do about one day old Peter sitting there and one of them Pharisees walked up to him and said, Peter, said, does your master pay tribute? And Peter said, sure he does. Peter didn't know what he does. About that time, the fellow left and the Lord walked over and said, Peter, said they asked that question about tribute, right? And Peter said, that's right, Lord. And he said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go down here and throw your hook in. First fish you bring up, said, open up his mouth and there'll be a coin in there. Get it out of his mouth and go and pay tribute from taxes for you, tribute for you, and tribute for me also. And it'll be down there. Amen. And you know something? That old fish was just down there swimming around. And here comes a man walking by that pool of water. And now the clear blue something says, hey, take a coin out of your pocket and flip it in that water. Right. And he scratches his head and said, why am I to flip a coin in that water? I'm going to flip a coin in that water. I don't know why. He flips a coin in that water and God said, hey, fish! Take that coin. And by the way, it was such a big coin and a small fish, he couldn't swallow it. It was in his mouth. God said, don't swallow it. Hold it in your mouth. And said, by the way, said there's a fellow coming down here by the name of Peter. Said he's going to throw a hook in. I want you to grab that hook. He's going to lift you out of the water, take a coin out of your mouth, throw you back in the water. You can go your merry way. That little fish just went down there and said, come on, hooky, hooky, hooky. Come on, hooky, hooky, hooky. Come on, hooky, hooky. Peter threw that hook. Hey, grabbed it up. He went. Peter grabbed the coin, throwed him back in, went and took the coin, paid the tribute. Wonder why all that happened. What are you? Are you hearing me this morning? I've come, let us worship. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Come, let us bow down unto Him. Why? I'm telling you, He is a sovereign God, ladies and gentlemen. He rules in the heavens and He rules on the earth as well. And also, bless your little heart, He rules in the affairs of men as well. He's God, friend. Hallelujah. We want to treat Him like He's one of us. He's not one of us. He's not man. He's God. And beside Him there is none else. Amen and amen. Now I want to say, He controls the wildlife. He conquers all foes. He's Lord and King, it says in verse 3. Hey, He conquered Pharaoh. Who is a type of Satan? That's right. When Moses went down into Egypt, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should let these people go? And the Lord said, I'm going to show you who the Lord is. He began to bring those plagues. And he knew exactly when. He told Moses time and time again, here's what I want you to do, but I want you to know this also. He's not going to let you go yet.
That's right. But he will.
You think the Lord going to? But he said, he will. And said, by the way, when he lets you go, he'll send you out with a high hand. And said, by the way, when you go, you are going to take gold and silver and jewels and everything. You're going to spoil this crowd and carry it out with you. Is anybody listening to me now? Now I'm going to tell you. He dealt with Pharaoh and dealt with Pharaoh and dealt with Pharaoh until Pharaoh pulled the last straw. Said, you'll see my face no more except you die. Moses said, you have said rightly. And that night, the firstborn of all Egypt died.
Amen.
All Egypt died. And Pharaoh said, get out of here. Yeah. Now, are you listening to me? The devil. I want you to hear me well. You think it was a coincidence you got saved?
Nope.
That's why we can worship God and praise God. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't just a thing that occasionally or just... about happened by the way to you. The devil had a hold of you. Read chapter 2 of Ephesians. The devil had a hold of you and wouldn't let you go. But I'm going to tell you, God brought one plague upon the devil after another plague upon the devil after another plague. Now the devil said, get out of here. And he let you go. And son, freedom. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God gave us freedom from the power of Satan. I no longer am under the power and control of the devil. Why shouldn't I praise God? Why shouldn't I worship the Lord? Sorry about that, Miss Lane. Why shouldn't I sing to Him? Make a joyful noise. Some of y'all don't believe that. You think when you got saved, it was just a coincidence. God just saved you that day. Oh, no. There was a battle raging that you knew nothing about. There was a spiritual war going on you didn't know anything about. I'm going to tell you something else. Sin had a hold of you. Sin had a hold of you. But when he hanged on the cross and cried out, it is finished! Sin let go! Sin's power turned loose of you! What a Lord! What a Savior! If I could sing, I'd sing, oh, what a Savior is mine! Hallelujah! Hala Mashande, Gadi Yaw, Yamaha Wana Kawasaki, Tami Nek Tami Botaya. Amen. That's right. He conquered Pharaoh, Satan, and he conquered sin. I'm going to tell you something else. He conquered death.
Amen.
Death could not hold him prey. As he laid in that tomb, death thought he had him. But I'm going to tell you something. From the very beginning, death could not hold him. He is not the essence of life. He is life. In Him is life. He is life, ladies and gentlemen. You can't kill life. You'll catch a hold of that night. Why? He said, I've come that you might have life. Woo! You Armenians, get a hold of that. You can't kill life, friend. What you got forever. Are you a Baptist or you are Armenian? You can't kill life. When God saved us, the Bible said we passed from death unto life. We're not dead anymore anyway. We're alive. Hallelujah. We're alive in Him. One of these days, we'll just slip out of this old clay and slip on up to where He's at. Amen to God. Hallelujah. That blood-bought crowd that's went on before us. Amen! We'll stop in the sky and wave goodbye. Hallelujah. So long. Adios, amigos. It's been good to know you. Amen. Thanks be unto God. We ought to sing to Him. We ought to sing to Him. Why? We ought to sing joyfully, Brother Hal, joyfully. Why? Because His salvation, because the song He's given. Because He is our sovereign. Number two, we ought to worship Him gratefully.
Yep.
Look at verse number two. And I won't be long on these other 2 points. Look at verse number two. That's my main point. He said, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving.
Right.
And make a joyful noise unto Him with what? Songs.
Amen.
Come before His presence with thanksgiving and start singing. Don't the Bible say enter His courts with thanksgiving?
Amen.
You won't sing much until after you've thanked a lot. There's not much of a song in an unthankful heart. You start thanking, and the more you're thankful, the more song you have for Him to worship Him. Amen, Brother Hall. Hallelujah. Now listen, what are we going to thank Him for? Well, He said, hey, let us come before His presence. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be grateful for our entrance into His presence.
Amen.
I want to say these very quickly because you already know them. The high priest in His presence, the blood of sacrifice, first for himself and then for the people. He was able to enter in before God.
Amen.
Behind the veil. Jesus in His entrance, by His own blood, He entered in one time. Heaven obtained eternal redemption for us.
Yep.
But what about you and I and our entrance? The Bible said our entrance is by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
By a new and a living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, when I thought on this, and I know it won't budge you a bit this morning, but when I thought on this, I sat in my green chair this morning and I wept. I'm telling my wife, I'm glad she wasn't in there. But I sat there and wept and snubbed and cried, Brother Gray, like a little baby. I thought of that Roman soldier. He said, which is my flesh? Through the veil you have entrance into God. Through the veil, which is my flesh? And that big old Roman soldier walked over. He was going to break his leg, but he found he was already dead. Instead of breaking his leg, he took a spear and rammed it in his side. The Bible said, out come water and blood. And I'm going to tell you, when his side was riven, God opened up the veil. That is to say, His flesh, and gave us entrance right in to the very heart of God. Not just the holy roar, not just the presence of God, but into the very heart of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We can go right to the very heart of Almighty God this morning.
Amen.
That's
right. To His heart. Hallelujah. The veil has been rent in twain. Listen to me. That veil was rent in twain from what? Top to the bottom. And that veil was never there to keep God in. It was there to keep God out. Boy, I wish I could run. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Tried to kick up her wall going, it got me. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When that veil was rent in twain, He opened up an entrance to God for you and I. We can go to God now through. Because the veil is rent in twain. I'm going to tell you another reason we can go to God. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Are you listening to what I'm saying, Brother Andy?
Amen.
We've got a mediator. Oh, yes. We've got a go-between. Woo! We've got an advocate at the right hand of the Father. That's right. That's why we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We pray in Jesus' name because we got to go through Jesus to get to God.
Amen.
You will get there no other way. He said, I am the way. And He is as our mediator. Amen to God. He's the way to the Father. No man will come to the Father but by Him.
Amen.
And may I say this? Now, I don't want nobody to fuss at me about this right now. If you want to fuss, fuss later. But Brother Foley, when that said no man cometh unto the Father but by Him, that didn't necessarily mean that he did it. Because the Bible said no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. But by Him. In other words, he's the man in the middle. You got to come by him. That's right. To get to God. He's that middleman. Yes, sir, buddy. No man come to God but by him. Woo! You reckon we ought to worship him? You reckon we ought to sing to him? You reckon we ought to be thankful? Thankful, grateful that he's given us entrance into the presence of God. Hey, by the way, we have been accepted in the beloved. Woo! I'm accepted of God. How? In the beloved, in the Son of God. Hallelujah. That's his wonderful name. You know, it blessed God in taking his own son's life that through him he might bring many sons into his kingdom. Many sons. By one son, many sons. And we could not become a son until he become our father, and he could not become our father till he died on the cross and become the father of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Woo. You hear some of them Old Testament, when I say mind, I'm talking about like those that sat under Elijah, you'll hear them call the big prophet, Father. When Jesus come, he said, call no man on earth your Father. He's not just, we've always talked about that, talking about the Catholics. He's not just talking about the Catholic Father. He's talking about people that would call men higher esteem than them, Father. Oh, I'm telling you, I got a letter of esteem yesterday. Would you believe that they want me to be a member of the senatorial elite committee? They've invited me to a golf tournament. They've invited me to a luncheon. And all I got to do to join the club, send them $1,000 a year. If I could ride on that thing, I'd turn over and say, I'm already a member of an elite club, son.
Amen.
It's called the Family of God. Are you in it?
Amen.
Elite. Amen.
Amen.
Grateful because we've got entrance into God. Grateful because he's embraced us in his love.
Amen.
That's right. Grateful, thankful because of his effectual grace in our lives.
Amen.
Then we're not only to worship him joyfully, and we're to worship him gratefully, but we are to worship him reverently. That Bible said in verse number 6, O come, let us worship and bow down.
Amen.
Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
Amen.
I'm going to say this. You think we can come to church clowning around? Goofing off and worship God, you're wrong, friend. It don't work that way. This is serious business. Remember what I said a while ago? Solemn, but not miserable. You can't play around with God. He's not a toy. This verse clearly points out that we are to reverence him. That's right. In worship of God, joy should be wedded to seriousness. It's a serious thing that we're doing here this morning. I'm going to tell you what, God's more interested in what's going on here than he is in the White House. Now, some of you don't believe that, but I'm telling you it's a fact. God's more interested in what's going on in his house than he is the White House. This is serious business. In worship of God, gratitude is wedded to humility. You're not going to be thankful without being a little humble.
Amen.
And confidence is wedded to reverence. You don't come cocky before God.
Amen.
I am the man, all these preachers. I am the big dog. Well, I'm the big wheel.
Amen.
I won't tell you about the wheels. But you're not going to get to God like that, friend.
Amen.
Not with a cocky spirit and a cocky attitude, but with a humble and contrite spirit. Now I want to say also that confidence has got to be wedded to reverence and zeal to holy awe. We can have all the zeal in the world, but when we come before God, our heart ought to stand in awe.
Amen.
At the glorious God of heaven. Are you listening? I'm done right here now. He said, the position of a position of humility, he said, bow down. A position of lowliness, he said, kneel before the Lord, our Maker. I'm going to finish up right here. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, posture is not everything, yet it's something. Prayer is heard when knees cannot bend, but it is seemly that an adoring heart should show its love by prostrating the body and bending the knee. That crowd gets saved and they come down. What do you come for today? I come to get saved. How long you been under conviction? 5 seconds. Come on back and sit down, bud. You ain't ready. Went up here to the walk shop the other day. I ordered a plate of stuff and they brought it out there to me. And they had three little things on it about that long. Looked like little roast ears. Little things of corn. And I said, Brother Moody's with me. I said, Brother Mike? I said, Jack Howells must have picked these. He said, what do you mean? I said, they ain't ripe yet. They're not grown. Look at them. They're still picked them too soon. They're not even fit to be. You can eat them cob and all, son. They may fit to be called a roast near. You don't pull them green, folks. A holy God won't tolerate around this altar.
Amen.
And may I say to you, are you listening to this? And I'm trying to close. But God will not put up with will worship.
Amen.
That is our doing ourselves. Like Aaron's boys done, put that fire, that strange fire, walking out through there, and God said, he didn't ask nobody about doing it either. He just killed them. God wants real worship in the house of God. Real worship.
Amen.
Have you worshipped Him lately? Have you thanked Him? Have you been grateful? Are you joyful?
Amen.
I'm just telling you this morning, if you don't have any joy about your salvation, you got a real problem.
Amen.
A real problem, friend.
Amen.
How can we not? As a choir, Brother Doug sang, before I can shout hallelujah,
amen,
I want to thank Him for what He's done. Let's stand.